I want to begin by asking you, what are you afraid of? Are you afraid of anything? We sang about the storm, and certainly there are a lot of Christians in North Carolina and South Carolina that have been damaged by the storm. I lived in North Carolina for a period of time on two occasions. We lived at Newport, which is next to New Bern and Morehead City, and I know the brethren there are under the storm still. And we want to pray for the brethren out there that they will be healthy and overcome the difficulties. Have a lot of memories there with the brethren, and we hope and pray that things will go well for all of them. But let's keep them in our prayers. But I did ask you, what are you afraid of? We think of a storm, but then there are other things in the spiritual realm. I find among brethren sometimes a fear that they're not going to go to heaven, or they're afraid they're not worthy of that. And so as we look at the lesson this morning, I want to talk about fear itself and how Christians are to overcome that. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Paul said, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." These are things to really think about and recognize the kind of attitude that we ought to have as Christians. Through the years of preaching, I found a lot of people continue in fear about their salvation. They're not sure. They're not confident. They are afraid they might fall short of that. So I want to talk about that fear, some of it having to do with physical things and some with others. Got together a list of different kinds of fears that people have. Some of them I can't even pronounce, but claustrophobia, fear of confined spaces. And I know some people have had trouble with MRIs and things of that nature, being put into a tunnel because they have claustrophobia. Altophobia is a fear of heights. Aviophobia, fear of flying. And I've known a lot of people that have the fear of flying. Hydrophobia, a fear of water. Arachnophobia, the fear of spiders, and I plead guilty to that. There's nothing about spiders that I like. And then the fear of snakes and the fear of public speaking. I remember that I saw that. We had three young men that were trying to preach when I first started trying to learn at a little country church out of Bladewater, Texas. And each one of us was given a lesson to prepare and get ready. One young man that was more of a football player than he was a Christian, I think, got up to speak, and he said, and he sat down. The sermon's really short that morning. But he had a fear of that. And I've got a little bit more that we'll just pass over quickly. The fear of clowns. I've seen that on television some. The fear of trees, and I'm not aware of what that is. The fear of thinking. I think a lot of people are afraid of thinking. And ecclesiophobia, the fear of the church. And this must be widespread because so many people are afraid to go to church. Then the fear of sermons. They say, I know one song leader in North Carolina, I'd get him to preach and he'd sing the song, "Ready to Suffer." So I think he had a fear of sermons. And then panophobia, just a fear of everything. And we often have that sort of attitude. But I want to make the spiritual application about that this morning and recognize that we should be confident, as Paul said, and have some things that we do assured of. Repeated admonitions not to be afraid. God told Abraham to not be afraid, Genesis 15:1. Abraham was told to leave his city and go to some place that I'm going to show you. He didn't know where he was going. Hebrew writer says that he went out not knowing where he was going, but he trusted God. And this is the epitome of what faith is in the Bible. Most of us, and all of us, don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know about our health. We don't know about various many things about what's going to happen tomorrow. But the idea is that we trust God. And even if we should die tomorrow, then we should not be afraid because we have God on our side. So God was saying to Abraham, don't be afraid. Then Moses told Israel, don't be afraid. They were coming out of the land of captivity, and they were going to the land of promise. And they were going out many of them had never been to the land of Canaan because they were born in captivity. But they were said, don't be afraid, God is going to be with you. And he was with them and brought them finally into the promised land. And they had to have the kind of trust, first of all in God, but then in God's spokesman, who was Moses, and then Aaron, his helper. And they had to trust. Well, we do the same thing when we read the Word of God today. We trust the Word of God. It's sure, it's steadfast, it's the rock on which we can depend. And so we're not afraid of the future because we know about God. Then God told his prophets not to be afraid. Jeremiah 1 and Ezekiel 2, these were two of the major prophets of the Old Testament. Poor Jeremiah, I've thought of him so many times because he had such a rough life. He was hated for what he was told to say. And yet, he was told not to be afraid. Go ahead and speak what God tells you to speak. Well, he was called a traitor because he trusted God to speak what he told him to speak. The idea was that Isaiah had tried to get the people to reform and to repent, and they didn't do it. So when the next prophet came up, who was Jeremiah, he was told, you're going into captivity. Just get ready for it. And Jeremiah's message from God is, you'll be better off if you don't shut the gates. When the enemy comes against you, open the gates and let them in, and you'll have a better reception and less trouble. Just don't be afraid. Tell them what I'm saying. Well, there was a letter that was found by one of the defenders of a fort that was probably about 50 miles from Jerusalem. And it had reference to that traitor prophet because he said, our people are afraid because of what the prophet said. And he resented. Well, he's talking about Jeremiah. Jeremiah had said, open the gates and let them in. And that fort was destroyed with everybody in it because they didn't open the gates like Jeremiah said. And so sometimes you have to be afraid of things, but do it anyway. Do it anyway. And I'm sure that Jeremiah didn't like it when they put him into the dungeon and he was up to his shoulders in mire, about to starve to death and being mistreated. But he had confidence in God regardless. And that's where we've got to attain somewhere with regard to this life and the future life to come. Then Jesus often had to tell his disciples not to be afraid. Now, they rejected Jesus, and because they rejected Jesus in 33 A.D., the city was destroyed in 70 A.D., but he was telling his people not to be afraid, because all they can do is take your life. They can't take your soul. We've got to have that understanding, too. I have no idea what's going to happen to America. I think it's going in the wrong direction, but I don't know what's going to happen to America, but I'm not afraid. First of all, I'm old enough that before something really bad takes place, I'd probably be gone. The younger folks are going to have to worry about that. But nevertheless, we have God on our side. And though man may take our life, they cannot take our soul. And that's the important thing to recognize. And I think when you look at people like Esther, she's one of my heroines, a woman that was so tied to God that she saved her people by her bravery. She was married to a king who had a law. Unless I send for you and you come into my presence, you'll be killed. But she went into his presence without being called, and because she was a faithful wife, he extended his hand of mercy, and she told him what had to be done to save her people. And Esther had to be afraid, but nevertheless, she did what she had to do. And I think we are afraid sometimes when it comes to evangelism. We're afraid to talk to people. We're afraid they're going to reject us. We're afraid they're going to say something against us. We're afraid they're not going to understand. And so most of us don't talk to people because we're afraid they'll reject us, or we're afraid to speak to people. There has to be a claustrophobia for that somewhere along the line. But Jesus was telling his disciples, don't be afraid, because I am with you. I'll be with you. And even though he died, he sent back the Holy Spirit to be with them. He said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit back to you. And they were afraid. If you know, when Jesus was crucified, the disciples scattered, just like the prophecy said they would. They scattered. Peter and John went back to their fishing business. and others were just scattered. But Jesus rose from the dead, and after the resurrection, you see a totally different band of disciples in the apostles, in that they had that boldness to speak the word of God without fear. They were cowering in fear when Jesus died. They thought everything was over. They didn't understand what was happening, and that Jesus was laying down his life to rise again. And they were afraid. Peter was at the court where Jesus was being tried, and three times he denied Jesus Christ. And the Bible says the last time he swore. Now you think about how afraid he must have been. This woman came to him and said, "You're one of his disciples." "No, I'm not." What would make him say that? Because he thought all was lost. He thought that Jesus was going to die and everything would be over. Can you imagine the relief when Jesus was raised and appeared to the apostles and gave them the Holy Spirit? And they became bold in that. Now we have the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. And we need to have a boldness about our work. Jesus said when he was 12 years old in the temple, when he was lost from his parents, he said, "Know you not that I must be about my Father's business?" Well, here we are now. We have to have the same attitude. We must be about our Father's business. All around us, people are lost. All around us, people are in darkness. All around us are people who don't know what we know, and we know what to do to go to heaven. We're too scared to share it. We're afraid somebody's going to reject us or somebody's going to get mad. And one of the things that we've done to alleviate that, of course, are the cards. That's why I keep saying that. And I'd like for you to look at the poster that I gave to Brother Sam this morning. It tells you how many times people have been to the website, and it's listed in thousands of times people have been there. And that encourages me to know that the message of Northside is getting out to people. Be sure to look at that before you leave today and look at the number of times people have been to the website. Now, I think it even gave that the average people would look at 2.5 pages or so many pages when they're there. But there's so much good stuff that's there. One of the things that just lately, Elliot Bowman is a singer, and he sings all four parts. And he has agreed for us to put up all his music. Plus, on our website, we have the place where you can go to his particular website, and music just pours out of it. He sings the four-part harmony, and you just want to sing with him. And if you can have that in your home, what I did a while yesterday was just to sit there and sing with him as he sings the different songs that he sings. And you can learn new songs. Some of the old ones are there, but you learn some new ones. And so we need to take into our heart, this is a way that we can tell people about the gospel of Christ. On one page, it has nothing but the plan of salvation. One page is, what is the Church of Christ? So people can really know what the church is. So don't be afraid to tell people about it and give those cards away. Be sure not to leave the building without some in your purse or your pocket and give them away. Don't be afraid to do that. I do it all the time, and I haven't had people reject it yet. So we're not given a spirit of fear. But sometimes, yes, we're still afraid. And that's just a human condition. We're afraid of the future. We're afraid of what people may think. We're afraid of circumstances. And what happens when we're afraid? We sort of pull back into ourselves. We sort of withdraw in a way so that people won't see that we're afraid. But I think again of the apostles and how they once realized the truthfulness of the resurrection. They were so bold. And maybe we've not let it soak into us the truthfulness of the resurrection. The fact that Jesus, in one of the songs, it said he went into hell. That really should be Hades. Jesus went into Hades, not to hell. Hell is a different word, and it's Gehenna, and the evil go there. But Jesus, pardon me, he did say to the thief on the cross, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And paradise has Hades, and part of Hades, one is paradise and the other is torment. So we need to be sure that we understand that. But Jesus wasn't afraid. And I think of him fasting 40 days and 40 nights before he went out to the wilderness and confronted the devil. And he was not afraid of the devil. Even though in a weakened condition, and I believe he allowed himself to be in a weakened condition so that he could prove that you can overcome the devil. And James tells us if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. And so we need to be sure that we do that. So we need to learn to trust in God's care. He's going to be with us if we're doing His will. In Psalms 56, 3 and 4, the psalmist said, "Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In God I put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me?" Now, brethren and friends, that needs to be a part of our understanding. What can flesh do to us? Oh, they might reject us. They might sneer at us. They might make fun of us. But let's get thick-skinned about this. We have a mission to perform. We have a message to share. And we've got to be aggressive with that. Not afraid, but aggressive. To reach out to people that they're never going to hear the gospel if they don't hear it from us. So we need to be ready to do that. Again, in Proverbs 3, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. It's just human nature that we are afraid. And the fact that it's addressed so many times in both the Old and New Testament tells us that God understands our fear. But there's something that rises above that fear, and that is our faith. When we have the faith, Jesus said, as a mustard seed, we can move mountains. And that's the idea of sharing the gospel and not being afraid of that. Then in Luke 12, one of the statements that Jesus made, "Are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? The very hairs on your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more valued than many sparrows." How many hairs have you got on your head? I doubt if anybody's ever counted it, but God knows. And from what we read in the prophet and the Psalms this morning, He knows my thoughts from afar off. He knows my rising up, my sitting down. He knows everything about me. And I need to recognize that when I'm pure at heart, God is with me and will stay with me if I live in His presence and do what He wants me to do. What this is saying is that Christians should not be afraid. Christians should have boldness. Christians should have a fearlessness when it comes to talking to people about the gospel. Now, like you, I've had those fears. In times past, I've gone door knocking. I don't do that much anymore because it's not that profitable. So many people just want, two people are working, nobody's at home. But I remember very well door knocking. And I don't know what the word is for being afraid of dogs. I'm afraid of dogs. And I'll never forget the time up in Boston when we were up in a high-rise apartment knocking on doors, and this woman opened the door and unleashed her dog. It was something like a Great Dane. And I just froze. I'll admit, I was afraid of that dog. And she was not interested in hearing what we had to say. And so we melted down the stairs. Another man was with me at the time. We were going in pairs. But I'm like you. I have my fears. I have the times when I'm unsure of things. And then I get back to the promises of Jesus. And He says, "I'm with you, my sins have been forgiven, and I can go to heaven as a forgiven person." I want to tell people about that blessing so they will have the same kind of an attitude. Paul said in Romans 8:31, "What then shall we say to these things?" All of these things. If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, do you believe that? Do you really take that to heart? And understand that if God is with us, who can be against us? Well, there may be, but it's not going to stop us. I've always thought so many times, we studied Philemon not long ago in class, and Onesimus was a runaway slave. And he must have stolen something from his master before he left, because Paul wrote him a letter after he converted Onesimus and sent him back. And he said, if he owes you anything, put it in my account, I'll pay it. But the idea that a runaway slave went to Rome, and through the providence of God, he met Paul. And Paul, in prison, converted that man. And that's the statement that the gospel cannot be chained. The only reason it could be changed for us is if we're too afraid to share it. That's the only way it could be changed for us. Paul and Silas were in prison in Philippi, having been beaten. And they sang psalms and hymns in the middle of the night and converted their jailer. And so you come in contact with clerks, with office people, with neighbors, with friends. Whip out a card and give it to them. Give them a card. Don't be afraid of it. That's one way of evangelism, and you can be doing that very thing. So we have to look back in history sometimes to gain that perspective. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 17, if you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? The Lord said, you shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. They were going to the promised land. The 12 spies went to seek out the land. 10 of them came back and said, we're like grasshoppers. We can't do this. They've got walled cities. And they discouraged the people. But Joshua and Caleb said, we can do it. We can do it. Well, here was this walled city, Jericho. And by the blessing of God and the power of God, they didn't tear down the walls, they just circled the walls. And on the seventh day, they circled it 7 times and shouted and blew the horns, and the walls fell down. We have to understand that God is able to do things we can't do. And I believe deeply in the providence of God, that we have Him on our side. So we have to understand that. To learn to live in God's presence. In Joshua 1 and verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, to not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Be a good thing for you to write that down and put it on your bathroom mirror. You see it every day. Be strong, of good courage, do not be afraid, don't be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And of course, they had tough times in front of them. Moses could not go with them into the promised land, but Joshua led them, and they did well doing what God told them to do. And they overcame a whole country because they listened to God and did what God wanted them to do. In Psalms 3, the psalmist said, I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. And I guess that's a little hyperbole, but David understood that he had enemies. His enemies were around him trying to destroy him. But he said, I woke up, the Lord sustained me. It's good when you wake up in the morning and you know that you're on the green side of the grass. You're not under the grass. So be glad that God has been with you. He's given us this day, and we need to make use of it. In Acts 18, now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. And he was talking about Corinth. And I'm just amazed at Paul, what boldness he had. With fearlessness, he went into the mouth of lions of the Jews that hated him. He preached the gospel and converted so many. Went to Corinth, that great city. And Anthony and Cleopatra had been there. And they had a walkway from the wharf that they had been up and down. But that didn't in any way stop Paul from teaching the gospel that they needed. In 2 Kings chapter 6, talking about Elisha. When the servant of the man of God rose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. His servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? They were afraid. So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. Behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. That gives me chills. This is the idea that God is with us and he has unlimited power. I've got to, the word afraid and fear is found so many times in the Bible. God understands us. He understands that we have this trepidation about doing things when we may be afraid that people are going to criticize us. Paul didn't stop. And to think that Elisha could see all the horses and chariots of God fighting on their behalf. And I'd like to think about that at times when I get in difficult circumstances. I've been there, so I think this is one of my favorite passages. But then we get ready. We talked about the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31. Why was she not afraid? She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She made preparation ahead of time. Before the snows came, she made them garments. And she knew that they'd be ready. And I remember a story in our lifetime of a young man was hired by a farmer to be a farmhand. And a great storm came up. And the farmer got up and woke the young man. And he said, "What are you doing asleep in bed? Because we've got a storm." He said, "I've already attended to everything. I can sleep because I've done ahead of time. I've got the stock in the barn. I've got everything shut down. I've got everything secured. I can sleep because I made myself ready." And you know, that's what I think sometimes. I think about the Apostle Paul going to Timothy's home. And Timothy was ready. He didn't have to say, "Give me 3 or 4 years." Timothy was already ready and able to go because Lois and Eunice had taught him ahead of time, had prepared him for a service to the Lord. Now, this is a good example for our parents and grandparents, because you might have an influence on your children and grandchildren because you prepare ahead of time. Matthew 24, Jesus was talking about the destruction of Jerusalem and also the end of the world. He said, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect." And of course that's what's going to happen. One day we're going to hear the trumpet sound. Everybody's going to hear it. And the Bible says that every eye shall see him. It's not going to be a secret coming, like Jehovah's Witness say. They said Jesus was coming back in 1914, but when he didn't come back, they said, "Well, he came secretly." So nobody knew that. No, he's coming back and every eye is going to see him. And John chapter 5 says that all the bodies shall be raised. Everybody in the graves are going to come forth. Now, I know that hasn't happened. So I'm not going to be afraid of the future because I'll be ready when the Lord comes. And I'd like for you to be ready as well. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." That shows the value of love for God, the value of love for Jesus, the value of love for the sword of the Spirit, the value of love for the brethren, and perfect love just casts out fear. That's what Jesus had. That's what Paul had. And we need to work on it, that we have something at least similar to that. And then we need to pray about it. Really need to pray. When Jesus was facing the worst ordeal before he was arrested and taken to suffer, he was on the Mount of Olives and went off and prayed. And the disciples that were with him went to sleep. He prayed all alone. The Bible says he prayed great drops of sweat like of blood. He was in such torment. But he prayed. "Peace I leave with you," he said. "My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, this is repeated again and again and again. Don't be afraid, because you have God on your side. And so we need to pray for peace. That's what Philippians chapter 5 speaks about. And Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you." We need to pray for boldness, because as the disciples were in Jerusalem, and in Acts 4 and Acts 5, they were told not to preach anymore in this name. And they said, we cannot help but do what God tells us to do. We need to pray for strength, not necessarily physical strength, though that's a good thing, but also for spiritual strength to overcome the fears of this life. So back to our first passage, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I truly hope that this means something to you personally, and that you'll rethink your position in the world and rethink your position with the Lord. And you'll have a boldness to be able to speak and a boldness to do the right thing, no matter what happens.